You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Arkansas moving on to the College World Series. Razorbacks going to play LSU in a national semifinal tonight at Charles Schwab Field here in Omaha. We'll talk about it in just a moment, but first a word from Kendall King.
Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Razorbacks still alive here in Omaha, beating UCLA 7-3 last night, a football score in a baseball game in June. The Razorbacks got some good offensive performances yesterday. Vahiva Aloy, a home run and a triple. They got production from the bottom of the lineup. Brent Iredell reached base all four times. Justin Thomas continues to produce in the nine hole. Thought Charles Davalon had a nice game as well. But Christina Long, who's with me. Christina, I thought the key to last night was the pitching of Arkansas. You know, you think about the Gage Woods no-hitter on Monday, and then they come back yesterday, Zach Root on short rest, and I know he didn't pitch a whole lot of pitches on Saturday, but throws five scoreless innings. Aiden Jimenez throws three scoreless innings. It got a little weird there at the end with Will McIntyre on the mound, a couple of errors, a wild pitch, and UCLA was able to tack on a field goal. But, you know, for Arkansas, this is really 3 days in a row now where they have pitched really well here at the World Series. And as they go into this matchup with LSU, you know, UCLA made LSU work yesterday at the end of that game. It's not the typical deal for the team in the winner's bracket now where they've got the day off because they had to finish the game yesterday. I think Arkansas's pitching sets up maybe as well as LSU's going into this game.
Yeah, I think that as far as once you lose your first game, once you get into the loser's bracket, pitching is one of the primary concerns. And I think Arkansas has worked out pretty much as well as you could ask it to. You never expect to see a no-hitter, but that obviously helps a lot as far as the bullpen saving is concerned. And then, yeah, I think the fact that they were able to do something we hadn't seen them do, which was build a comfortable lead last night and allow them to put Will McIntyre in, somebody that they probably wouldn't have put in a leverage spot necessarily or with the game closer than it was. I think that also allowed you to really save a little bit. You know, you didn't have to use one of your top guys there. And so I think that was really key. I mean, the fact that the offense got going enough to allow them to use the pitching the way that they did in a way that we hadn't seen the offense do in those first two games. And I think, like you said, you know, seeing Brent Iredell get going, seeing, you know, some of those guys at the end of bottom of the order kind of get a little bit going there. I think the middle is still kind of concerning. I was looking last night, I was trying to compare, you know, I was interested how that sort of new Caboose gang had done relative to the rest of the lineup. And, you know, the top is still doing a lot of the, you know, driving in of runs, but the middle of the order really hasn't contributed a whole lot since the College World Series started in terms of scoring. And so I think that's something you still want to see, but I do think that a big part of it last night was the fact that the offense was able to do enough to get them some insurance.
Gahio Aloy last night, he did have 115 mile an hour exit velocity on a single. So, you know, he's showing you that the bat speed is still there when he makes contact. Hasn't been a great postseason for him. Ryder Helfrich in the cleanup spot hasn't been a good week for him here in Omaha. But you know, I think the thing that this lineup has shown us all year, Christina, is that they don't stay down for real long. You know, I mean, the lineup may not produce, you know, the same week to week, but all of these hitters, I think, are capable enough of coming out of a slump. And we haven't seen very many times this year where a slump has been something prolonged. It feels like, you know, they're always capable of breaking out on any given night.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the one that comes to mind was the Iredell one kind of midseason. Mm-hmm. And then he's kind of been a little bit back in the doldrums a little bit lately. But yeah, I think you're right. I think the other thing is that because of how much offense they have 1-9, you know, how much they're capable of, I think that even when you have somebody, you know, they're not just dependent on if Vahiva Aloy is not hitting, nobody is. You know, I think that's a huge thing. And I think that's part of why we consider this such a well-rounded team and one that we thought could make a run the way that they have started to do here. So, yeah, I mean, I think that was really encouraging last night to see them kind of, especially Vahiva, you know, because he had, you know, not slumped, but just hadn't been kind of what you thought you were going to see in recent games. And so I think for him to kind of break out a little bit was really important.
Vahiva, yeah. I mean, triple home run, intentionally walked. It feels like, you know, and Bubba and I talked about this yesterday. They need somebody who's not Vahiva Aloy to step up. And maybe that's what Justin Thomas is doing right now. I don't know. But to see Vahiva have the type of game that he had with the season on the line, I thought that was as impressive yesterday as it was impressive for Gage Wood. Maybe not as impressive as Gage Wood to throw a no-hitter. But but still, you see what I'm saying? It's like most important game of the year. You have one of your guys step up and have a great performance. And I thought that's what you saw with Vahiva last night.
Yeah, well, and you mentioned Justin Thomas, too. I think that's been really fun to see. He's a guy that I like. You know, when we haven't talked to him that much this season, media-wise. I remember a few days ago we were talking, some of the other reporters, and they're like, have we talked to Justin Thomas more than, like, once or twice this year? Just because, you know, we usually get the kind of, like, big offensive player of the game. And while he's contributed in spots, there's not been a lot of times where he's been the guy that you, like, wanted to talk to right away post-game. And so it's been fun to kind of see him come on in this spot. And I think you're right. They've needed, like I said, I do not think this is a team that, you know, if Vahiva is not hitting, that nobody is. But I also think you certainly want your star to be producing a little bit. Yeah. And so I think having that kind of last night really helped, you know, having him. I was on cycle watch. I got excited because I finally found in the College World Series notes where I found the last time it happened stuff. And I was like, oh, I got to get ready for last time somebody hit for the cycle. And it was last year. It was Christian Moore, Tennessee. And I was like, oh, that's not that cool. And then he didn't end up getting the opportunity to do it anyway. But
so we don't know how this is going to look tonight as far as pitching matchup goes as we record the podcast. You know, I mean, when you listen to this, you may know who's starting. But, you know, for Arkansas, it feels like a game where maybe Landon Beidelsees goes. He hasn't pitched in a little while. He started against LSU, obviously has a lot of starting experience this year, started against them down in Baton Rouge, the game Arkansas won. That was a bullpen game. I feel like that was the roadmap that day to what they might need to do today to beat LSU. Score some runs, get two innings here, three innings there from pitchers. If they can go further, that's great. It just feels though like one of these games where, and it's like this when you get in the loser's bracket, and even Dave Van Horn said this last night. He said, if we don't score, we're going to be in trouble against LSU. I feel like when you get in the loser's bracket, you kind of sometimes you have to slug your way out. It's hard to pitch your way out. Pitching helps and pitching depth helps. But it feels like the team, and this is this is the Lou Holtzism, whoever scores the most is going to win the game. But it does. it feels like a team is going to have a good offensive performance probably to win this. And in Arkansas's case, win it and force a decisive game tomorrow.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think that once Jimenez came out of the bullpen last night, it kind of seemed like, okay, so probably indicates Beidelsees tomorrow. It's going to be really funny if this comes out and it's somebody else. We've talked about all this, but I think either way, whoever it is, you know, they'll be starting. If it's not Beidelsees, they'd be starting somebody with not a lot of starting experience, potentially. And so I think you're right that it would be the kind of thing where they're going to piece something together with just a couple innings here and there. And that's why, to what we started with, it's so important that they've got the bullpen set up the way it is, because you're going to need guys to kind of cobble something together, and you're going to need people to kind of put, yeah, like you said, two or three innings together here and there. And they're set up really well to do that. And I don't know as much about LSU staff, and you might be able to speak to this a little bit, as far as does LSU kind of have that ability, and is there, you know, somebody, are they in a position to kind of have that sort of run through a few different guys to kind of get a game together and try to get it done on offense? I don't know LSU staff as well.
Well, you know, LSU, their issue all year has been, who do they throw past their first two starters and their first few bullpen arms? And yeah, they had to use Chase Shores yesterday for four outs. And that was the second time that he's pitched here in Omaha. Doesn't mean he can't pitch again today, but he might not be, you know, as crisp as he would be on more rest. Kaysen Evans had to throw six innings yesterday. I would be very surprised if you see him. I think Anthony Ianson is a wild card. He threw 44 pitches on Monday night before the rain came against UCLA. I think it's a little early to turn around and use him again. You know, I was listening to Matt Hobbs talk a day or two ago, and he said that, you know, one of the considerations among the many about who you pitch and when is what's their future, because they trust you and their parents and their, you know, their agents and whoever is involved in their livelihood and their well-being. You know, they trust you to make the best decisions for them and their future. You got the Major League Baseball draft coming up next month, and Anthony Ianson is going to be a big time draft pick, and you don't want to mess that up with turning him around and throwing him too soon at the World Series. So maybe Ianson tomorrow, if it gets that far, I think I'd be a little bit surprised. I think Arkansas's bullpen today sets up as well as LSU's does, if not better, for this game. Now, they've got to score runs, you know, and that's the key to this. It doesn't matter how well you pitch. I mean, look at what happened against LSU in the first game when they played. I thought Arkansas pitched that game really well, but they just scored one run. So I think the bullpen sets up as well for Arkansas today as it done for LSU. You remember Tony Vitello talking after the Arkansas-LSU series, and he said maybe the depth of the bullpen doesn't come as much into play in game one because of who's pitching. He said, but, you know, in the course of a regional, maybe it does come into play. Look at what happened with LSU when they played Little Rock. And it's a different setup. You know, you've got off days. But LSU didn't pitch well toward the end of that Little Rock series, and they didn't pitch well toward the end of a lot of weekend series this year. Game three against Arkansas is a case in point. I think Arkansas has got it set up from a bullpen perspective about as well as you could relative to what the other team has on the other side.
And I would imagine that Arkansas's bullpen at the strength that it's at is probably better. You know, if you were just to, I guess at full strength, if you were to compare the two, Arkansas probably has the better bullpen and has the better situation. So unless, you know, that's another reason why it's so, we keep going back to why it's so fortunate that they've gotten the performances they have, because if they were kind of hobbling into this with just kind of a few arms toward the back of the bullpen, then yeah, it might be a little different. LSU might have an advantage, but I just think that Arkansas's bullpen at its best is better than LSU's at its best.
A three-run home run from Jared Jones can change the bullpen talk in a hurry. He's been really good for LSU, or he was good for them against UCLA, had a tough game against Arkansas, obviously, in game one. But, boy, he's an awfully good player. I felt like some of the people who hit home runs here this week, I think there have been 11 hit. Like they were some of the people that you thought had the power to get the ball out of this ballpark. You know, Vahivo all the way last night.
And then Reese Robinette.
Well, you know, Reese Robinette, he's got power. It's just,
no, he does. You know, he does.
He doesn't always make contact. He's really good at drawing his walks, by the way. Reese Robinette is man. But, you know, Loy had a home run. Jared Jones had that big home run against UCLA. It was just a massive swing in that game. You know, I was thinking back to Arkansas starting Zach Root yesterday and throwing Aiden Jimenez. Think about Jimenez against LSU. That was the worst weekend that he had this year. Didn't have a good outing on Friday, walked a couple of batters, didn't have a good outing, you know, a very good outing, at least not to his standard, in the Sunday game against LSU. And then Zach Root, you know, I thought he pitched well against LSU down there in Baton Rouge, and then had the struggle over the weekend against the Tigers. And so now you in some ways, at least today, I would think with Jimenez too, you take those pitchers out of the equation against a team that they have struggled against. I thought that there might have been some of that, you know, at play there. Certainly, it was all about winning the game last night against UCLA. That was the most important thing, and those are two of their top pitchers. But I do think that maybe there is some unintended, benefit might be the word, that you're not throwing a couple of guys against LSU who've had success against them this year.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I think that was something that David Horn talked about a little bit last night, was kind of the familiarity that they've had. And he kind of rattled off. Somebody asked him a question about it, about, you know, how you approach it when you're so familiar. And he was like, he rattled off, you know, what happened in every game. And he's like, I remember all of them. And Arkansas's come out on the wrong end of a lot of them. But yeah, I mean, I think that the familiarity helps some. I think the pitching situation, like we've talked about, is just hugely beneficial. And I think, after having faced them as recently as they have, and especially with the lineup, I think that they're, with what they were able to do last night, I think that kind of helps. I mean, you mentioned the hard hit balls. Those were the hardest hit ones we've seen them have really since they got here. And so I think that shows a lot of progress that kind of gets back to what they've been able to do. And I think that was important for them to kind of take that step before they go back and face the team that really was able to shut them down. Obviously with one of the best arms in college baseball, who's not going to be pitching, but you know, I think that just helps. It goes a long way.
And starting Root or Zach Root last night, as opposed to maybe starting him today, also sets him up for the championship series. If Arkansas can get there, it's a tough road to get there. Arkansas in a similar spot as they were though, when they were here 3 years ago against Ole Miss. And in that one, it was different because they won game one and lost game two, but they fell into the loser's bracket in the first two games. And that's, you know, that's obviously what you want to avoid. They got a really good pitching performance in that first semifinal game against Ole Miss. They got a good pitching performance. Remember, Zach Morris came in and shut Ole Miss down in a really clutch situation at the end of that game. That's the kind of performance they're going to need tonight. And then they got to the winner take all game against Ole Miss, and it was a great pitching duel between DeLucia and Connor Nolan, a 2-0 game. And I just feel like if Arkansas can get to that point tomorrow, be it adrenaline, be it maybe able to recycle Gabe Gackle. Maybe we see Gabe Gackle today. Would kind of surprise me a little bit if we did, but you know, you're at the point in the year where maybe nothing surprises you a whole lot. I guess what I'm saying is if they can get to that point tomorrow, I think I'd give anybody a puncher's chance in that game.
Yeah, that's been one of the kind of fun discussions. I know some people on our message board were talking about it, about how it seems like every College World Series, if there's a team that gets hot, or especially, you know, one that kind of makes a run out of the loser's bracket, sometimes you need a guy that just kind of comes out and puts the team on his back a little bit. Maybe he's a surprise person, maybe not. And so a lot of people have been discussing, okay, who, you know, before the College World Series started, talking about, okay, who would be your, if somebody's going to do it, whether it's a pitcher or a hitter or whatever, if somebody's going to come out, not out of totally nowhere, because considering the talent Arkansas has, but if somebody is going to be the guy that has that breakout performance and helps carry them, who's it going to be? And I think that these kinds of games are where, you know, obviously a no hitter, certainly does something like that. But I think in these kinds of games, in this final where you're coming out, you got to win to make it to the final. I think that's where you can kind of see somebody sort of shine that way. And Arkansas, like you said, has had kind of some pitching performances like that, where like those guys weren't necessarily unexpected, but they were able to do something that was special in a moment that Arkansas really, really needed it.
We got much more coming up here from Omaha, but first a word from Kendall King.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over 4 decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Hey, welcome back. I want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971, committed, professional, versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas, looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. Arkansas and LSU in the national semifinal, 6:00 tonight. Game's going to be televised on ESPN. Carl Ravitch, Chris Burke, Kyle Peterson, and Chris Budden will be on the call on ESPN. There's an earlier game today between Louisville and Coastal Carolina. Coastal in the same situation as LSU in that if they win today or tomorrow, they go to the National Championship Series. They've won 25 games in a row. The hottest team in college baseball. They've looked awfully good here at the World Series so far. Louisville beat Oregon State in a really entertaining game yesterday over at the ballpark. Oregon State scored 3 runs in the top of the 9th inning. Louisville got out of a jam, and they score a run in the bottom of the 9th to eliminate Oregon State. Really a couple of – I don't know that I would call Coastal Carolina a surprise team, because they're 55-11, and I think any team that's won 83% of their games, you're kind of foolish to call them a surprise at this time of year. But, you know, they're not a power team. They're not necessarily, even with the national championship within the last decade, they're not necessarily a brand name that a lot of people know in college baseball. They're really good, though, and I think it's been quite surprising that they've had this good of a year in the first season after Gary Gilmore retired there. It's been a real impressive year for them. And then Louisville, I don't think you can call them anything but a surprise. They went through the Nashville Super Region, or the Nashville Regional, beat Vanderbilt one time, let Wright State do the rest. And then Louisville beat Miami in a Super Regional last week. Winner of that series will play the winner of Arkansas and LSU. for the national championship beginning Saturday here in Omaha. Christina, it's the fifth time under Dave Van Horn that the Razorbacks have been in the semifinal round. Every time it's been an SEC opponent. LSU in 2009, South Carolina in 2012, Florida in 2018, and Ole Miss in 2022. And now here's LSU again. It's never easy. It's never supposed to be easy. But it just seems like Arkansas, the luck of the draw has maybe been a little bit unlucky sometimes.
Yeah, it's crazy how dominant the SEC has been. And even there was so much talk this postseason of how the SEC wasn't faring very well throughout the tournament. And then now they're guaranteed to have a team in the national championship. And I was trying to think last night, who was the last non-SEC team to win the national championship?
It's
been a few years.
Well, it was Oregon State. It was Oregon State, okay. In 2018.
So it was that long ago.
The last time that a team that's not in the SEC right now played for a national championship was Michigan in 2019. Now, Oklahoma was in the Big 12 when they lost to Ole Miss in 2022, but we knew at that point that they were about to make the jump to the SEC. So, Coastal or Louisville is going to be the first team that's not in the SEC now to have played for a national championship in 6 years. It's incredible.
Which is crazy. And I was thinking about that last night because after, in the UCLA press conference, a lot of people were asking, other reporters were asking questions about, how do you feel like you guys represented West Coast baseball and how do you feel like the former Pac-12 teams kind of, what would you say about how they fared this postseason and how they kind of represented that region because of how the SEC has just been and the Southeast has just been so dominant for so long. And so it was interesting to kind of hear them kind of reflect on that a little bit.
Yeah. It was also interesting. They weren't necessarily asking about how does Big Ten baseball get better. They were asking about West Coast baseball. There's a little bit of an identity crisis for these teams, I feel like, on the West Coast. I mean, Oregon State was here. They're an independent. Arizona was here. They're in the Big 12 now. It's an odd feeling with those schools because they have an identity as a program, but there's not like this larger group necessarily I feel like they're a part of other than West Coast baseball. Like there is for Arkansas LSU carrying that SEC banner.
And now West Coast baseball spans how many conferences? There were always some smaller schools that out of California or out of the West Coast that were not in power conferences that were, strong college baseball programs. But now you've got even the ones that were Pac-12 are now spread across all these different conferences. So yeah, like
even
you said,
the ACC.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you can't throw that in with, a certain conference anymore. It's more of a regional identity than it ever has been.
This is not to discount what Coastal's doing, but I think Arkansas and LSU are stronger teams than Coastal Carolina. Coastal's not 55-11 if they're playing in the SEC or the ACC. I think we all know that. The Sun Belt was a little bit – it was very top-heavy this year. Southern Miss was good. Troy, I thought they should have gotten into the NCAA tournament. But the Sun Belt was not nearly as good this year as it has been in past years, past those top two or three teams. It feels like Arkansas LSU to me, like the Arkansas Ole Miss series a few years ago, where whoever gets through that, I feel like they're going to win the national championship. I don't know. Maybe, Coastal Jacob Morrison, that guy's a phenomenal pitcher, and he can turn a series in their favor in a hurry. But it just feels like from a completeness, and I've been saying this for weeks, I think Arkansas and LSU are the two most complete teams in the country. And it just feels like that Ole Miss series a few years ago where – if you get through this, you win the national championship.
Yeah, when Cokie Riley that covers LSU was on the show with me last week, that was kind of what he said even going into that first opening game between Arkansas and LSU. He said, I think whoever wins this game is going to win the national championship. And, I don't think it's necessarily played out exactly the way that he maybe expected when he said that. But at the same time, it's possible. I mean, if LSU gets it done, I think they're set up really well to win the national championship. And I think Arkansas would be too if they were to advance out of this.
What's interesting is that LSU, even though they haven't lost, I want to go back to that rain, the postponement on Monday night. It's kind of like they've had to play three games because they had to get up and get ready and get prepared and get pitchers hot on three separate days. And so in some ways, I feel like it's maybe taken that winner's bracket advantage away from them a little bit. Now, they haven't had to throw as many innings, and they haven't had to throw as many pitches as Arkansas has had. But the rain has been a little bit of an equal. Remember when Arkansas lost to Oregon State? The rain was a huge equalizer. on that Monday night, the game gets rained out. Oregon State's able to, you know, rest up its pitching a little bit, and they're able to do enough to win that series. I feel like, you know, we might be seeing that a little bit in reverse in Arkansas's favor this week.
I was so convinced last night that we were going to have the same kind of thing happen, that we were going to have either a postponement of the whole game or that it was going to be a start and stop situation again, because we kept looking at the radar and we kept looking at it and, you know, checking the hourly forecast. And then around like 5:30, it said it was going to start raining at 6:30. And I was like, great, they're going to start this game and they're not going to finish it. And then nothing happened. It never did rain.
It was like a big
umbrella. So I kind of thought,
it was like a big umbrella was over Omaha yesterday. I was literally driving to, I was driving back to my hotel after the early game, the LSU-UCLA game, before I went back to the ballpark. I came to my hotel and I could see rain falling in the distance. And, you know, you get alert on your watch, hey, it'll begin raining in 15 minutes. And it never came. It was, it was the weirdest thing. A high chance of rain and thunderstorms all day. The clouds built and the rain never came.
Yeah, and I was just thinking that whole, all day yesterday, and even in the lead up, once I got to the ballpark and the lead up to the game starting, I was like, how is this inevitable delay or postponement going to affect Arkansas's plans? And then it just never happened. I even told somebody came up and started talking to me in the press box, and I said, oh, I'll come find you during the rain delay and we can catch up more. And then it just never happened.
This will be the eighth year in a row that an SEC team is going to play for a national championship. The last time that it did not happen was when Coastal Carolina beat Arizona in 2016. That's the only time, Christina, since 2008 that an SEC team has not played in the title series. It's amazing what this conference has done. And I'll tell you too, it's pretty incredible, I think, how we talk about like length of the lineup, depth of the pitching, the depth of the conference. It's not like it's, you know, football where it's Alabama, Georgia, and maybe LSU, you know, every 4 years that gets into the championship. I mean, I haven't done the math here, but when you count what OU and Texas did in the Big 12, now that they're in the SEC, you're probably at about double-digit teams from the SEC that have played for a national championship in the last decade and a half.
Yeah, which, I mean, I don't count those two, because I would be annoyed if the SEC, like,
Greg Sankey counts
claimed those. He absolutely does. That's his job. But that stuff annoys me. It's like, that doesn't count. They weren't playing an SEC schedule or whatever. But no, I mean, I see what you mean. And I think even if you take those two teams out, it's still a dominant showing from this conference for a long time now. And I don't think it's a surprise necessarily I think that's why it was so interesting to kind of watch how the tournament played out and watch kind of how the SEC seemed to be struggling a little bit. And there was a lot of conversation about how many were they actually going to get into the Omaha, and how many, you know, what was the success level going to be? And then now, like we said, they're guaranteed to have one team in the national final.
I looked it up. 10 SEC teams, not counting Oklahoma and Texas, since 2008 have played for a national championship.
So still a lot.
Yeah. Oh, a whole lot. And you know, you count them and it's three quarters of the conference have played for a national championship in the last 16, 17 years.
Yeah. It's crazy the run they've been on. And, you know, I don't think it's surprising to anyone. And I think that's why you hear, you know, about other regions and, you know, West Coast baseball trying to have a resurgence. And it was just so interesting to me to listen to those questions last night, because it's not something that I think about as somebody who's never lived on in that area or followed really any of the teams in that area more beyond just kind of national college baseball headlines. And so it was interesting to think about how that's changed as far as realignment, and then also with how the SEC has dominated for so long, kind of how that has changed things in a region where baseball, you know, that was traditionally a baseball power at the college level.
Can you name the teams that haven't played for a title since 08 in the SEC?
Definitely not. Definitely not. Missouri. Is Missouri one of them?
Well, that's one of them. That's
nice.
That's easy.
Is Georgia one of them?
No, Georgia has played for
Georgia
one.
Georgia has?
Lost to Fresno State. No, wait. It's Kentucky, Alabama, Auburn, and Missouri.
Alabama is a little surprising to me, but I don't know. I guess maybe it shouldn't be. That's interesting.
Alabama played for a title in 1999, and then the program, it really started kind of going downhill some after Jim Wells retired, some around the 06-07 season.
Yeah, the more you know.
Yeah, you know, Auburn's been here a couple of times too. Again, the length of this conference is quite amazing. Going back to Arkansas, though, the five semifinals against SEC teams, I really couldn't get over that. There have only been seven all SEC semifinal matchups here, and Arkansas has been involved in five of them.
That's so crazy. I didn't realize that. And that they've all been, you know, fairly recent.
Yeah, I mean, all of them since 2009, and they've got to get over their LSU hump in Omaha. And I know that, you know, what happened in 1987 means absolutely nothing in 2025, but they've never beaten LSU up here. And, you know, it's always felt like if Arkansas is to take a step as a program, and they're one of the best teams in the country, I'm not trying to downplay that at all, but if they're to take a step, you know, as a program, they're going to have to get over this LSU hurdle this year in Omaha. Maybe that's the easiest way to say it. You know, the Arkansas LSU series in the last 6-7 years has been as competitive as there has been. But I don't know. I get maybe where I'm going with this is it's fitting that LSU is the last hurdle that's remaining between Arkansas and playing for a championship, because that's always seems like, or maybe many years, it seemed like that has been a hurdle for the baseball team.
Yeah, there's more historical narrative to this game than I think I realized, beyond just the fact that they've played so many times this year. I think that's a lot of material for our post-game notebook, I think.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot there to unpack. So Arkansas, 6 o'clock tonight against LSU. Again, we don't know who's pitching. It's going to be something I think we'll probably find out. I would guess middle of the afternoon we'll probably get a word on who's going to pitch. You know, LSU, they didn't formally announce Kate Anderson until like 6 o'clock the night before the Arkansas game in game one here at the World Series. So, you know, they might hold on to their starter right up until game time. I'm not sure. Arkansas seems like, you know, they're usually pretty open about it, you know, middle of the day, who they're going to start. So make sure to check our website, wholehogsports.com, for the latest leading up to this game. And obviously we'll have a lot of coverage from Omaha here tonight as the Razorbacks play the Tigers, needing a win to force a true Final Four game tomorrow night here in Omaha. We appreciate you being with us today. We'll be back with another show tomorrow. Hope to see you then. Have a great day, everybody.